whenever they switch stances, whenever they throw those punches and those strikes, you hear it. You can, you know, hear their clothing move, hear the wind whip. And that, again, that rhythm is there 100%.
This is the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. A podcast dedicated to raw action analysis.
Ooh, my gosh. For fans of action cinema out there, how badass would that be?
Each week, we bring you a new action filmmaker to break down your favorite scenes.
360 off person, round kick the guy from a 360 spin.
Now, introducing your hosts, Darren Tun and Mike Messina.
Welcome to the second episode of AFD News. I'm your host, Darren, and I'm here with my co-host, Mike Messina. Today, we're going over a couple things. So the first piece that we're going to touch upon here is the passing of Brad Allen. Passed away on August 7th at 48 years of age. And yeah, condolences to his family.
Yeah, so condolences to family, friends, everyone who was close to him. 48 years of age, very young.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by that. Some of his works include, if you guys don't know, Jackie Chan films like Gorgeous, Wonder Woman, Hellboy 2, Shang-Chi, the Kingsman series, and Scott Pilgrim, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah. So I knew him, and I think most people would associate that name with the Jackie Chan films. He was in a bunch of them. He was on that stunt team for how many years? A lot of years, I know.
12 years, I think.
Yeah, 12 years. Yeah. So that part I knew, but I didn't know until really recently, until reading the story pretty much, that he was involved in, you know, those modern films that you mentioned, the Wonder Womans, the Hellboys and such, and Shang-Chi, which is upcoming still.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. I see here that he progressed from stunt performer to action choreographer to stunt coordinator, and then finally action director under Jackie's guidance, which is a pretty crazy thing to be mentored by Jackie Chan like that.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, he seems kind of like, you know, there's a lot of mirrors here to Bruce Lee's life and career, I think. Brad Allen, also a lifelong martial artist, also mentored by martial arts legend in Jackie Chan. And of course, Bruce Lee had Ip Man as his master and passing away very young, unfortunately.
Yeah. And just to get a sense of like who he was, I think Dustin Daniel wrote a great description in here after he passed, which I would like to read. He said, when Brad Allen stepped onto set of Shang-Chi, he brought with him an unwavering drive for excellence. He was quiet and gentle, never seeking the spotlight, always striving to be the best version of himself, and his work ethic was unmatched. He never walked away from a shot until he got it right. He told me one of his idols was Buster Keaton, and when you watch his action sequences, it makes so much sense. For Brad, kicks and punches and explosions were not enough. He wanted everything to tell a story, and that was Brad's true gift. Telling intricate stories through movement. It was a true honor to work with him on this film, as I know how much meticulous care he took to make sure every beat of every sequence was perfect. And what he and his team created is something truly special. Rest in peace, my friend. You will always be remembered. Our next piece of news is Robert Rodriguez's El Rey Network deal with Roku. Just a rundown on the El Rey Network before we get into anything. It was started by Robert Rodriguez. It's a Latino-infused network showcasing like a wide range of iconic feature films, TV series, genres, cult classics, action, and horror/sci-fi. It's great that he's going from TV to now streaming.
Yeah. To be honest, I've never really, I don't have any experience with this TV network, probably because it was previously all on cable TV. But now jumping to streaming, probably a step in the right direction for just about any kind of media, anything at this point.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you hear the name Robert Rodriguez and you have a very clear picture of the kind of film and genre that's going to be there. Yeah. So not everything there is going to be made by him. A lot of it's curated by him, but as well as, you know, some original content for the network too. But I'm sure everything's going to be in some vaguely Rodriguez, that type of storytelling and filmmaking.
Yeah, I've got Roku, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay, nice. I'll come over then.
Yeah. The next one is the Witcher prequel series from Netflix. They casted, and I think they're shooting in the UK now.
Okay, nice. It's a good place to shoot.
Yeah,
I did not really see much of the first Witcher series, which is, you know, it's a Netflix series. It's an adaptation of the popular novel and video game series of the same name. The original season was starring Henry Cavill.
Yeah, you got to watch that. It was great.
It was good. You saw it?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
All right.
The action sequences were really cool. And I really, really liked what Netflix did with the behind the scenes, because it really, really gave a lot of credit to the action and stunt work that went on. And obviously, you can see that Henry Cavill has an enormous amount of respect for stunt actors and working with them, coordinating with them. He was talking about in one video I saw, he was like mentioning the blade and how it was like a cut blade. I don't know if you saw that one, but
no, I didn't.
Yeah. And he was like, he was fighting with a half blade the whole time so that they can CGI the rest of the blade in. And the way he explains it, it goes pretty in depth. So I can't wait to see what they do with this new series.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. It's great. Yes, giving credit to the stunt team and the action teams, and then also going in depth and giving credit, not just saying, look at these guys, they're awesome, but also saying, this is why they're awesome. This is the craft that they're working with. Here's the creativity and the results. Here's the creative problem solving that they're introducing to everyone. That really allows you to appreciate them on a whole other level.
And great move from Netflix to show that with Henry Cavill explaining.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
All right. The next one we have here is the My Hero Academia live action series. The live action movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my bad. So the My Hero Academia live action movie gets a director, Shinsuke Sato. I want to make sure I didn't completely butcher that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was close enough. You could spell it out from the way you said it, so everyone can Google effectively.
But interesting thing here is that this is his first ever, I think, English movie.
Yeah. Previous works from Sato include I Am a Hero, Kingdom, and Alice in Borderland. Sato is a Japanese filmmaker, prolific Japanese filmmaker. And yes, this is going to be his English language debut. Mm-hmm. I'm personally not a huge My Hero Academia fan. I haven't gotten into it or really given it a try.
Definitely have friends that are.
Oh, yeah. Big time. It is a very big manga and anime series. I believe it's following some flavor of superhero school where it's sort of almost parodying or having fun with the superhero genre. I believe the term they use is quirks for all the superpowers, and they're all, notably quirky superpowers.
Yeah. And if you took a look at some of his older works, I believe he also did a Death Note live action movie as well. So not the Netflix one, but I've yet to see it. So he does have quite the bit of experience in this anime to live action sort of series. So yeah, I'm excited to see what he does with it.
It's very interesting. It's almost, I feel like anime to live action is almost more difficult than comics to live action. Because there's, now you have that motion and that it's closer to the film style in terms of a medium.
Right,
but I think that boxes you in, where now there's a higher expectation in terms of what it's going to look like. So it's going to be a tricky thing to square.
Because you could do a lot more with animation, I feel like, for cheaper, essentially. Because it's a lot of it could be just hand-drawn, you know?
Yeah, and there's so many interesting effects you can do with animation as well that not only can you kind of not do with live action, but you definitely can't do it with comics. So in a way, the comic book medium or the manga medium, it's going to give you some more leeway when you're adapting it. Here, I think anime is going to give some more challenges comparatively.
Yeah. It's hard to make some of it look quite realistic, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, we have Thor 2 and Terminator Genesis director Alan Taylor. He, quote, lost the will to live as a director after fan backlash. So this was pretty harsh to hear, I remember. And I think he left the scene for quite a bit before coming back. And now he's doing the new Sopranos movie. I think it's the Many Saints of Newark.
Yes. And he has experience with the Sopranos TV show. I think he won an award for directing either one episode or a few episodes, something like that. I remember people not really digging Thor 2 or Terminator Genesis. I know you said Thor 2 wasn't that bad. Everyone's kind of overreacting about it.
They had some comedic moments. It was not bad. I don't really remember it too much. Yeah, I don't remember it being that bad. I don't know. We'll see. Let's see what the fans say about that.
Yeah. And that's, it's kind of scary to take on such big franchises like a Marvel superhero or a, you know, a Terminator or something like that, especially with the Terminator franchise, with there being such a history there, it going back so many decades where people have those childhood memories, and then they expect you to give something that's, you know, different, but the same, more of the same kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, shouts to anyone who takes on those big kinds of franchises. Star Wars, of course, is another huge one that comes to mind.
Especially with J.J. Abrams and the stuff that he was doing. I remember he both him and the other, who did the middle movie? I forget.
Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson, yeah. Rian Johnson actually isn't a bad director. I really liked his Knives Out.
Knives Out was amazing. And you know what? I loved a lot of The Last Jedi, that episode 8 that he did for Star Wars.
You either love it or hate it, because some people are like, yo, this is terrible. And I remember some of my friends hated it. I remember liking some scenes not so much, but
yeah.
But he definitely shows himself as a director. Really great on Knives Out, I would say.
Yes, yes, yes.
Next up, we have Sandra Bullock replaces Lady Gaga in Brad Pitt's Bullet Train. So this is an adaptation as well, I believe.
Okay. Do you know what? So what was Bullet Train originally?
In the article, I think it was a best-selling Japanese novel.
Okay. Interesting. Sandra Bullock's obviously very talented and great and established. I'm a little disappointed. I kind of want to see more of Lady Gaga after her other roles.
Yeah. I really liked her role in A Star is Born. And yeah, she actually was great on screen, especially that being like her first time, I believe.
Yeah, she obviously has experience with, you know, some wacky outfits, which is, you know, sort of in the direction of possibly sci-fi or action cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sandra Bullock, again, she's great. We already saw her, though, in a fantastic action-oriented, fast vehicle-based film in Speed.
Speed,
back in the day with Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
So we got to give Lady Gaga a try, you know? Like, give her a shot.
I think Lady Gaga has a great versatility as an actor. Just seeing from A Star is Born, like, the stuff that she was able to do. Like, she's an all-around performer.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see her back in some other roles, some other films later on. But again, you know, of course, Sandra Bullock is, I'm sure she's going to knock this out of the park, whatever it's going to be. Yeah.
Not to mention, I think last thing, director David Leitch. He also did that movie with Bob Odenkirk, Nobody.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, that looked really great too. I remember David first working on John Wick, then separating from Chad Stahelski for that second film. Chad Stahelski stayed with the franchise. David left and he did, I think, Deadpool after that. He did Fast 9. He did a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, and now he's doing Bullet Train.
These small indie movies that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, of course.
Hopefully
yep,
he will become a bigger name in the future.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see about it. Yeah, but props to him. Next up, we have buff Ryan Reynolds makes his way to Fortnite. And possibly Tyler Rake from Extraction 2.
Yeah, so that...
Yeah.
I mean, buff Ryan Reynolds making his way to Fortnite. I believe that's something taken from Free Guy, which just came out. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of BTS stuff. Also, Extraction, I think in Free Guy, Daniel Stevens doubled Ryan Reynolds in one of these shots. And buff Ryan Reynolds was actually, I think, doubled by Aaron Reed.
Okay.
Really buff dude, though. Not fake muscles.
Okay. Oh, so you're saying he's the buff.
Yeah, he's the buff. He's the buff guy. Yeah, yeah.
I guess Ryan Reynolds' face and this dude's body are making their way to Fortnite.
Yeah, exactly.
Which at this point, once you make it into Fortnite, that's kind of a big cultural, that's a milestone.
Oh,
it's like
yeah, definitely.
When you sit down
just
to play,
like,
John
Wick, you know, John Wick got into Fortnite.
John Wick's there,
huge.
Thanos is there. Yeah, cool stuff. And then we have this rumor that potentially Tyler Rake from Extraction, the main character, is going to be making its way. So that is based on, I believe there was some graphic assets found within Fortnite that have some sort of military garb looking thing, but it looks a whole lot like what Tyler Rake was wearing in the film, down to the tattoo on his forearm.
I see.
And
so
I
that's
do
why
think there was, yeah, and there was some buzz about some Chris Hemsworth character being in it as well. So those two pieces seem to match up. But that, again, just a rumor. We'll see what happens there.
We'll see when Extraction 2 comes out.
It'll be awesome. Yeah. When Extraction 2 comes out, yeah.
Waiting for Hargrave right there. All right, next up is More Paper Tigers news. I know last time we mentioned Paper Tigers on Apple iTunes. This time it's on Netflix, which is really big. Not only is it on Netflix, it was number 7 last time I checked. And Rotten Tomatoes released a Best Action Films of 2021 list, and it got number 1, which is crazy.
Ranking high for that action comedy. I think it really goes to show this resurgence is happening with interest in that more classical style of just straight hand-to-hand appreciation of martial arts kind of combat for action cinema.
Yeah, it really shows that there's an audience there. I know people were kind of deviating away from that genre a little bit. It used to be more popular, I feel like, during Jackie Chan's, you know, boom in like, I'd say like the 80s, 90s. But yeah, it's great to see it coming back in this kind of way.
It's following this greater pattern probably of, you know, the old becoming new again with all the reboots and callbacks to older franchises from 70s, 80s, 90s, things like that. But here you have a fresh take on it where you're sort of adapting it and evolving it naturally to what the modern equivalent would be, which is fantastic. You're not just taking something old and you know, slapping a new camera on it or something like that. You're rebuilding it from the ground up to really modernize it, which we've talked about before at length.
Definitely. So yeah, no excuses, guys. Now, if you haven't seen it, you can totally see it now on Netflix. All right. Next up, we have Anthony Mackie, who plays, I believe, the Falcon and now Captain America in the MCU, has closed a deal to star in the next Captain America film.
Yeah, Anthony Mackie's great. First saw him in 8 Mile, where he rapped against Eminem, which is, you know, a losing proposition, but that was that was back then. Now he's winning. Now he's winning left and right.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. He's done a couple other works other than that too. I've seen him in a couple other things before the MCU, which were pretty different, pretty different from the Falcon.
Yeah, he has.
He was in Pain or Gain, right?
Wasn't track he? List. I'm not sure if he was.
I think he was with Mark Wahlberg. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah, so he sort of transitioned from the Falcon to Captain America in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I believe? Or was there another film where that happened in?
No, it was in the series that he transitioned into Captain America. Yeah, it was great. That ending scene, I don't want to spoil too much if you haven't seen it, but spoiler alert, he gets a new suit and it's crazy. Yeah.
Nice. So that's another one that I have to see. But
some people have mixed opinions about it, but I think the new suit looks great. I can't wait for the next film.
There you go. Opinion based, but if you don't like the suit, then you're probably wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And Aliens turns 35 today, or not today, but recently. And Hasbro unveils a Nerf Pulse blaster to celebrate. I have not yet seen the gun yet. What does that look like?
It looks pretty cool. It looks like kind of what you would imagine. Basically that recognizable shape of the pulse rifle from Aliens,
but
made yellow and orange with that Nerf decal, so no one thinks you have an actual gun running around.
It's so funny because this is something that I feel like adults would totally nerd over, but like obviously Nerf right now is catering to kids, so it's like
that's true. You know, that is a good point. Yeah. I'm not really sure who this is for. It's for us.
They have an audience, and they tested this, and there's an audience for it. There's a customer base that wants this.
Yeah, I'm sure. And yeah, I'm a little concerned with the fact that 2 out of the 3, I feel like, signature properties of that pulse rifle, not really going to be here. The fact that you have that digital counter for the ammo on the side of the rifle in the film, and that iconic sound that it makes when it blasts. This doesn't sound like an actual like rifle you would hear in real life. It sounds pretty sci-fi, more like a blaster mixed with a gun.
So they have that sound effect playing while you...
I don't think they do. They might, though. Okay. Who knows? It looks like the original rifle, though. And that's good enough for me.
Sounds awesome. I might get it for myself.
I was
basically like, my kids. Like, I don't have kids. But.
Yeah, for my quote-unquote niece and nephew.
Yeah.
My fictional... little cousins or something.
Yeah. It's a movie set prop, guys. You know, we're going to be filming with it, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
All right. I think that's it for the news segment. We're going to move on to the breakdown segment of the scene.
Come on. Just smile.
All right. So welcome to the breakdown portion of the news segment, guys. This is Jackie Chan versus Brad Allen, round two from the movie Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a long one. This is like 10 straight minutes of a duel here.
Yeah. One thing I really, really noticed when watching this film was especially hearing Dustin Daniels' comment about Brad Allen, his favorite, I guess, stunt actor as
Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You can see a lot of the inspiration, like comedic wise. There's a lot of slapstick humor, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. So some background on the film itself. It is, of course, a Jackie Chan film and the fight we're breaking down between Jackie Chan and Brad Allen. It's unlike most of your usual Jackie Chan fare. It's more of a rom-com with some action infused in. It's much more lighthearted. There's a bit of a rivalry going on that kind of fuels these more respectful competition-based fight scenes as opposed to two people like fighting for their lives or something like that. So you'll see a lot of aspects of respect and sportsmanship in the fight scenes throughout the film. And of course, this one that we're about to break down too.
Yeah, definitely. I think there are just a couple moments there where one falls, one waits. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I'm definitely out to kill you kind of match.
Yeah, exactly. And when I'm booting up this scene, again, a one-on-one between Jackie and Brad, first thing that pops out at me is the colors of the scene, right? It's nice kind of stark white background. They're in some sort of maybe packing plant or paper shredding factory. Mm-hmm. And you have Jackie in all white getup, and then you have Brad in this all black. Getup.
And I think that reminds me of Every Frame of Painting's video essay on Jackie Chan and how Jackie dresses starkly different from the person that he's battling so that people can tell him apart. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, in the UFC, you just have the red band on one pair of gloves and the blue band on the other pair of gloves. It's pretty crucial to tell the difference there. And before they actually start fighting, you have this exchange of gloves, right? So you have Brad Allen taking on the larger traditional boxing gloves. And then you have Jackie Chan being given these smaller sort of more MMA style gloves. Yeah.
They look like oven mitts at first.
They look like proto MMA gloves. Reminds me of what Bruce Lee would wear in some of his films where they look pretty makeshift. But yeah, that's an interesting beat too. I feel like those gloves are kind of a handicap for Brad Allen, being that they're bigger, more cumbersome. There's going to be less padding for when punches hit his face as opposed to the other way around, and going to make it harder for him to kick, I would imagine, which we're going to see play out a little bit in the rest of the scene.
Yeah. So he switches out to similar gloves.
Yeah.
Way through. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. In the beginning, again, that first quarter, like you're saying, well, actually, even before that, you start with quite a bit of buildup where they're both kind of just getting their rhythm. They're warming up. They're bouncing on their toes.
That seems to be the common theme between these fights. I think this is round two, but they seem to have that rhythm that they fight to.
Yeah,
and I think the first fight, they mentioned, oh, his rhythm is off. His rhythm is off. So,
yeah, and you have these nice inserts of their feet moving and getting some of their footwork going. And then you have the
henchmen, right?
Yeah.
And they're bouncing around too.
Yeah, to the beat of their stepping, pretty much.
Yeah.
That goes on for not too long to the point where it's boring, but it is a comically long time for an action film where they're just bouncing around on their toes.
Very entertaining, though, still.
Yeah. I noticed that in that initial bit, too, while Brad Allen is still wearing the boxing gloves, you don't really get any kicking. You start with a lot of punching, which I think connects to him wearing those gloves. And then right away, you have them broken up. They start using the environment where there's this big cage in the middle of the room. One ends up on sort of in a corner behind the cage. The other ends up on the other side of it. So then they both, instead of taking advantage of that moment, they're sort of allowing both of them to come back to the center of the room to reset. A little bit more of an exchange. Again, mostly fisticuffs here, close quarters kind of stuff. And then you have Brad Allen swapping out, changing those boxing gloves for some more MMA style gloves.
Right, right.
And I think that's where Brad Allen really, really shines here. Is he gets to show off, those fantastic kicks. And the exchange starts off, you know, slow. They're building up the momentum of the kicks. But then pretty soon when he throws those spinning kicks, he'll throw 2, 3, 4 wheel kicks in a row and just never miss a beat, landing perfectly all the time.
In a wide angle shot.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I do like a lot of the angles they have here. They change it up quite a bit.
Yeah, it really reminds me now of when CeCe was talking about the two partners together. And this is so crucial that Jackie and Brad really line up with each other's performances.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Cece is someone we interviewed. You will not have heard it once
heard this episode. Yet, but she will be our next guest. Yeah.
Yes, that will be next week. But you're right. This is quintessential, like two partners. And another thing that so when I'm looking at martial arts fights, real fights even, I love watching their footwork and seeing how they're using their stances to change position. And like you said before, with the rhythm and the sort of dance analogy here, the comparison.
I mean, that's Jackie's signature right there. You know, you have to make sure that you get that down pat.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's not just the strikes themselves. It's the moments of calm in between where you get those, and the sound too, we should note, whenever they switch stances, whenever they throw those punches and those strikes,
right,
you hear it. You can, you know, hear their clothing move, hear the wind whip. And that, again, that rhythm is there 100%.
Yeah. And for a Jackie Chan fight scene, I will say I've seen him in the past use a lot more of the environment, but this seems to be a lot more like just hand to hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he does use a bit of that packaging, I believe, in some of the shots, and he throws up the packaging paper into his face. But other than that, it's very just hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, and when the environment does, like, the environment is part of the story, but it's not a part of the fight as a conscious decision from the characters. So definitely, you have Jackie falling into the packaging, then Brad says, no, you can come on and get up. Mm-hmm. And then when Brad almost falls because he gets caught on, like, a handle of a package, you have Jackie doing the same thing. He catches him, he says, all right, let's reset. Because again, it's that respectful competition more than a straight death match here.
And it's also kind of funny to watch them both get knocked out at the same time. I think that's a very common theme here in this fight too.
Oh yeah, they're very
one punches
even.
And the other punches, it's very equal, like very equal throughout the whole thing.
Even when, so there's this character beat eventually where Jackie will read a part of a packaging. He'll have a flashback to earlier in the film. He'll remember, oh, we got to loosen up. We got to, you know, find the joy here and use that to sort of rally and gain momentum. But even then,
similar to that drunken master.
Yeah. Even then, here in this fight scene, after that beat, they're still pretty evenly matched. Like Jackie Chan has his revelation and his character change, and then Brad is still getting these licks in, still getting these fantastic kicks, fantastic punches.
He's winning
really
temporarily. That's what happens.
Yeah, it's all temporary pretty much because they are so even. I did notice one environmental thing that happens when you have Jackie sort of basically against the ropes. Like if you would imagine someone in a boxing ring being put in the corner, he's getting hit by Brad. There's a whole flurry of punches on the defense. But then instead of having to work his way out, he's able to jump up, sit on the packaging, and then from there jump around, which is, you know, not something you could do in boxing, of course, because there's not a shelf for you to sit your butt on.
Right.
He's able to do that use environment a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is bleeding in a bit to that more sportsman-like competition theme here for the whole fight.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that part where he picks him up and starts just spinning him around.
Yeah,
that was crazy. It was played like comedically, but the way it was executed was really great.
There's this point within that choreography where they're spinning around where Brad Allen, he's kind of like, he has his legs wrapped around Jackie Chan's torso and they're both standing. Jackie Chan's kind of carrying him. But Brad Allen, he gets whipped backwards and he doesn't hit the ground, but it's almost worse because I'm like, his spine gets freaking whipped straight back, then forwards and back again. I'm like,
yeah, the flexibility is crazy.
His back must have been very sore after that one.
I'm reading some of the comments here. One of them says, are we all going to ignore the fact that Brad Allen did a real life bicycle kick?
Yeah, again, his kicks are impeccable in this. Once he changes those gloves, that's when the scene really starts to shine. All of his spins, it's so crisp. The way he lands each one, 360 after 360, he does a lot of aerials and stuff like that here. A lot of the exchanges later on are ending with him throwing a back kick or landing some sort of a, you know, something with his legs. Fantastic variety in it too. Really good stuff. And then of course we end, like you say, pretty much in a stalemate where they both spin out so much. Or actually right before that, there's this comedic stretch in the sequence and the choreography where instead of this really intricate back and forth trading where they're gaining ground and losing ground, they're both just standing in front of each other and then smacking each other left, right, left, right, left, right.
Left, right, left, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, it soon ends.
They're like knocked out with the eyes crossed and everything.
I don't know how, like, was this just Brad crossing his eyes as hard as he could?
It might have been, yeah.
It looked like a frame from Looney Tunes or something.
Yeah, it did, right? Yeah.
It was crazy, yeah. And then he even ends in a very Looney Tunes sort of position where he has his arm cocked, ready to throw a punch, and then staying in that position, he kind of just falls backwards. And again, both of them basically just spin out after beating each other up for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. Had a really, really great chemistry, especially between Brad Allen and Jackie Chan. I think this is when you see it the most.
Yeah, they are the masters here. And one more time, of course, you know, shout outs to Brad Allen and condolences to everyone around him.
Thank you guys so much for listening and stay tuned for next week with CeCe.
If you liked that, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/actionfilmmaking and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Stay up to date on the show by visiting our website, actiondecoded.com, and by following us on Instagram at actionfilmmakingpodcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.